Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the King. Good afternoon. I'm glad you joined us today on Wednesday midweek Bible study. Let's pray. Father, we call on your mighty name, your holy name. We delight ourselves in you, O God. We come before your holy presence, putting on our whole armor. Lord, we put on our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our loins girded about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the sword of the Spirit in one hand, the shield of faith in the other, and you are a real guard. Lord, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that you are Jehovah. Oh, you are the I am that you told Moses to tell Pharaoh. You are the great I am. You are a Jehovah Tsidkenu, a righteous God. You are Jehovah Shalom, a peacemaker. You are Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, a healer. And we call on you today, Lord God. Move by your Holy Spirit. Touch our bodies inside out from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Touch us like never before. Touch us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch us inside out. Touch every organ, starting with our brain all the way to the bottom of our feet in the name of Jesus. Touch us like never before, Father God. Touch the lobes of our brain stem. Oh, God, bring our memory sharper than ever before. Oh, God, sharpen our memory that we might remember your word that's written on the tables of our heart. Sharpen our brain function. Let our brain function at 100% capacity, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Sharpen our sensitivity to you. Let us know when you're present. We'll say, oh, yeah, God is present right now. And, Lord, we thank you that you are present right now with all of us because you said we're two or more gathered together in your name. You're in the midst of us, and we give you glory today. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We honor you. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are mighty in the heavens. You are mighty in the earth. You are mighty God. And we say hallelujah, hallelujah to the Most High God. Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining Wednesday midweek Bible study. We thank God for you and you and you and you and your family. You know God loves you so much. Even when you feel like he's not around, he's right there. Don't you worry. God is right there. He's been there before he put you in your mother's belly. He knew you. Yeah, you. Read Psalms 139, the whole chapter. He said, before I placed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. And he said, the thoughts that he have of you are more than the grains of sand. Now, you know we can't count the grains of sand. So his thoughts of, I ain't talking about a group of people. I'm talking about his individual thoughts of you. Yes, you. He knows your name. He gave you the fingerprints and the footprints you have. God is an amazing God. He orders our steps. So I tell you what, you know he orders our steps daily in the word. He wants us to read the word. You know, what you need at that hour. if you frustrated, upset, it's going to calm and bring you peace. The Word of God, there's peace. There's everything we need in the Word of God, but we got to pick it up. It ain't going to jump in our brain. We got to pick it up. We got to read it. We got to study it, and then we got to follow it. God said, obey. Obey. Listen. Follow. And obey the Word. So I thank God, you know, we can obey the Word. It's time to worship God. We have a mighty woman of God on with us from Marrero, Louisiana. She's going to sing and play a song of praise this afternoon. I'm grateful for her. Her name is Sister Gloria Dean Charlow from Marrero. Good afternoon, Sister Gloria Dean. How you doing today?
Good afternoon. Doing good. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, thank God that. And hello to everybody that out there now that's here. Praise God. God bless them too. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to sing you songs about all about Egypt and the children coming out of Egypt. The Lord gave me this song years ago. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very clear.
Okay. The Lord gave me this song years ago. Thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. You brought the Hebrew children through the Red Sea. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Lord, 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 thank you for bringing me through. If the Hebrew children knew the plan of God, they would have said, Lord, thank you for bringing me through. Lord, thank you for bringing. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. Oh, thank you for bringing me through. It's all by Jesus Christ. It's all by Jesus Christ. That faith is bringing me through. That faith is bringing me through. That faith. Lord, thank you for bringing me through. Lord, thank you for bringing me through. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, the Lord is bringing us through many, many situations.
Hallelujah.
He knows our name. He is bringing us through so much.
Yes.
He's never going to leave. He's never going to take us. So I thank God for you, Sister Gloria. Thank you so much for that beautiful song. Thank God for bringing us through. Yeah, we done had our Egypt moment. Yeah, we had. So I thank God. He's bringing us through all of those things. You know, we don't know what we have to face in life. But I thank God that he said he will not leave us. And he is not a man that he should lie. So I thank God for each of you this morning. We have Sister Lainey on with us, Lainey McBride. She lives in Jackson, Mississippi. She's going to sing a song of praise for us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Sister Lainey. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Sister G, and our sisters and brothers in Christ.
All right. Somebody has a video or something on. I'm going to ask you to shut that off for us, please. Put your phone on mute. Thank you.
It's up.
All right.
It's up. All right. There is a name. There is a name. There is a name. There is a name. Precious name. Name. Bless that name. Name. Oh, Jesus. There is a name. Oh, Jesus. There is a name. Does anybody love the name? Does anybody love the name? Does anybody love a name? Does anybody love a name? Bless that name. Oh, bless that name. It's a precious name. Oh, Jesus. There is a name. Oh, Jesus. There is a name. Oh, right now, Jesus is the name. Jesus is the name. Oh, Jesus, that's the name. Bless that name. Name. Bless that name. Oh, bless that name. Oh, Jesus, there is a name. There is, that's the name. Oh, oh, Jesus. There is, that's the name. Healing in that name. Oh, Jesus. There is a name. That name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sister Lady. Beautiful.
Amen.
Of that song, God. It is a name. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And this name is above all names. Jesus. His name is above all names.
Hallelujah.
On this afternoon, no matter what part of the world you're in, no matter what city, state you're in America, God loves you. Not only does he love you, oh my God, he sent Jesus to die for you. Now that's, let me tell you something. That was his only child. You give up your only child to die for somebody? I don't think so. Even if you did, it wouldn't do any good. So we're praising the Lord. We're thanking the Lord. You know, because he's a good God. He's a mighty God. He's the Almighty Father. And I'm going to ask Minister Laney if she would pray families of the world, our families and families all over the world. Sister Laney, if you could pray for us, our family and families all over the world. Thank you.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, thank you that by the blood of Jesus you have made us all families through adoption. The process of salvation, after redemption, then salvation. And we so thank you for this great salvation in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the kind of love that you would have to make that possible for us. even before we were born, even before our parents formed us. We were formed in our parents, our mothers. You loved us for such a time as this. So, God, we thank you that you gave the perfect example of what a family would be like. Your father, Jesus, my elder brother, and all the family members worked together to be a blessing to each other. And it's in that kind of love and that kind of revelation and that kind of example that you've given us that I bring before you all of our families all over the world, especially those who are on this line, who are members of families, and we love them. They love us. Whether we have issues with some things or not, we know, Father, you are the glue that holds each brick together in kingdom building. We thank you, God, for the salvation of those in our families who have received you as Lord. And we lift those up who have not received you, that the Holy Spirit will go after them and they will be receptive to receive you in Jesus' name. God, we know the ultimate desire for you is that we have communion with you, fellowship, after the relationship to develop an intimate communication with you, communion, that you can help us to live our best life now. So, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless families all over the world, bless our families at every level of the fourth and fifth generation, that we will receive the blessings of Abraham, that we will embrace them. We will have power to speak over our children, even particularly the ones that are wayward, that we will look at them and declare them for the glory of God, as you have said they were born to be purpose to bring glory to you and theirs. Hallelujah. We thank you for healing and deliverance, salvation, comfort, forgiveness, even forgetfulness is needed, cleansing of all kinds in our families. Whatever those special needs are, you know what they are by name. You are all-sufficient God. You are the El Shaddai God. You are our one source, God, and you are omnipresent, you're omniscient, and you're omnipotent. You know everything, so you know what the issues are. We lay them all at the foot of the empty cross and say, Father, cleanse us and perfect us for such a time as this. And then give us your strength, your courage, as we put on the arm of God to rise up from that place of cleansing to do the work of the ministry. We so thank you for our families. We thank you for our families. We thank you, God, and we receive the blessings from you for our families, even the family of worshipers and students under Sister G on this line. We give you glory, God, for families in Jesus' name. Now, every accursed thing that's tried to divide us and tried to tell us we have not loved, we have not cared for, that no one cares, we bind that the enemy, we bind that lie, cast it down in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray, God, that revelation will come to them, that the works of the Holy Spirit, through your word, your will, and your way, the workings of angels, and he who is the Holy Ghost, will convict those who are confused that they are loved, and you are all of our Father. It's in the name of Jesus we thank you now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that very powerful prayer. We praise the Lord and thank him because he listens to our prayers. You know what? We serve an awesome God. So right now I'm going to unmute all the lines. And remember to turn your radios off, TVs off, whatever you may have in the background. Remember not to talk to nobody. You know, have these conversations going on because I'm unmuting the line. And you can mute your line if you want. I'm thanking God for each of you. You know, it's scripture, Bible scripture time. So right now we're going to be doing scripture search multiple choice. So you know that what we do, we find the scripture that I call, you find the scripture, then you state your name and read off the answer. Okay, you got to tell me what I'm leaving off. So listen, you know, as I would say, hear. I got something going on in the background back here, but it's okay. The first scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. I'm going to read you. Tell me what's the answer. But he answered, it is blank. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's the answer A, forecast, B, on the news, C, written. But he answered and said, it is blank. What is the answer? And then read the scripture. State your name.
Esther, but this chapter 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
Thank you, Esther. Very good. Matthew 4:4. All right, next scripture. Get your Bibles ready. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. Blank, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Is the answer A, knock? Is the answer B, ask? The answer C, seek.
Sister Marion.
Go ahead. Both of you, tell the answer.
And it shall be given. Ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The answer was ask.
Amen. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Sister Miriam. We got Florida and Louisiana on giving the answer, y'all. Come on. Got to catch up. We're in a marathon, remember? All right, next scripture. Uh-oh. Let me see where it is. Hold on. I left this one out. Let me see if I got any Bible scholars that could help me out. I know it's in Psalm 40, but I forgot to write the verse. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my blank has covered me. Psalm 44, what? Somebody find it. Is the answer head, A? B, faith, C, arm. Psalm 44, what? My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my blank has covered me. A, head, B, faith, C, arm. What's the answer? Where is it from? Psalm 44, what? Hey, y'all help me out. I neglected to write down where it's from. Psalm 44 something. Y'all look at Psalm 44. Find what verse? My confusion is continually before me. That sounds like something David said. I know David said it, but I just don't remember what the scripture is exactly.
This is Sister Marion.
Anybody?
It's Sister Marion. It's in 44:15. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face have covered me.
All right. Good answer. Yep, answer is faith. Good job. Ooh, I know I got Bible scholars on here with me. Thank God for you all. All right, let me see. The next one is found in, this one's Revelation 12 and 1. This is the last one. Revelation 12 and 1. It says, and there appeared a great wonder. In blank, a woman clothed in the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Is it one or eight planets? All right, read it.
And there appeared a great woman in heaven.
All right, read the whole thing.
Okay, I'm sorry. And there appeared a great woman in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
All right. Excellent. Oh, my God. I feel like I got Bible scholars on here with me. You guys are doing a great job. I'm so proud of you all. So very proud. All right. So the next, you know, now we're going to do scripture search. I'm going to give the scripture, and you read the answer. Where I'm going to tell you where it's found, and you read the whole scripture. State your name. Don't forget. Psalm 14:5. What does it say? Psalm 14:5. What does it say? Come on, all lines are unmuted. You can tell. Thank God for Brother Brian. He's on here today. He's a Bible scholar, y'all. I'm telling
you. Yes, sir. And it says, Psalm 5, there were they in
Psalm
great
14.
Fear. That is
14,
that
verse 5.
That is 14, verse 5.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you said 5. Go ahead.
Okay, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous.
All right, did she read the right one, y'all?
Yeah.
She said 5.
Y'all got to help me. 14:5.
14:5, that's what she read. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You all know I told you I get it mixed up sometimes. I be doing this at 3 in the morning sometimes, so I got it wrong. Okay. Thank you. All right, next scripture. Isaiah 14:9. Isaiah 14:9. What does it say?
Gloria Dean. Isaiah 14:9. Isaiah 14:9. Hail from beneath his
moon.
Keep reading.
Even all the ones of the earth.
It had raised up from their thrones
all the kings of the nations.
Yeah.
All right. Both of y'all got it right. Good job. Wow. You all are great, great Bible scholars. I tell you what, I remember when we first got started over a year ago. We're going on 2 years now. I thank God for each. We have all come a long ways. I know I have. I'm learning more of the word every day. All right, next scripture, Mark 4:24. We were in the Old Testament. We're going back and forth. Old Testament, New Testament, Mark. Remember Mark? That's one of the gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's one of the gospels. Mark 4:24. Go ahead.
Esther, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measures ye make, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given.
Huh?
All right. Good job. Thank God for you all. Okay, we're moving right along. Come on, y'all. We got to catch up. Catch up with Esther, Miriam, and Sister Gloria Dini. Y'all got to catch up. So now, the next scripture, we got two more. Psalm 109, verse 5. Y'all doing great. I hear you turning the page. Go ahead. Psalm 109:5.
Brother Brian, and they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love.
I told y'all he's a Bible scholar now. Go ahead, my son. Thank God for you. All right.
Amen.
Somebody talking to somebody in the background. If you put your phone on mute, please. You want to talk? Talk all you want, but just put it on mute so it's not interfering with the Wednesday midweek Bible study. You know, you got to be considerate of each other. You know, you want to talk to the person next to you or over there, that's okay. Just put your phone on mute. Make it a private conversation. All right. Ezekiel 47:1. What does it say? Ezekiel 47:1. Lady, you sleeping this morning? I heard you saying, okay.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Afterwards,
don't just keep saying, right here.
And measured the post 6 cubits broad on the one side and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle.
All right. Thank you. That is that part of it. It's homework time. I know all y'all did your homework. I'm sure everybody did their homework. Got some people who told me it wasn't coming on, but that's okay. God has who he's supposed to have on here. We got Sister Gloria Dean is going to be first. She's doing Exodus chapter. You know, we read for the homework Exodus chapter 13 and 14. You know, we're moving up in the world. We used to just do one chapter, but now we're talking two chapters. So if you're reading your chapters every day, hear ye what the word of the Lord is saying. She has Exodus 13, 1 through 8. She's going to give a summary. Go ahead, Sister Gloria Dean. Go ahead.
Exodus 13. I got to turn it to it.
Y'all be ready now. Remember, we got limited time on the radio, so you got to be ready when it's time to go. Come on, y'all.
Praise God. Chapter 13. Exodus. Chapter 13.
What did God tell you about? What did God tell you?
And the Lord is talking about Moses, and he's talking about the months that they're going to serve the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, told him to sanctify all the firstborn babies, all the male firstborn babies, and all the male bee babies that come out, the beast babies. Praise God. And Moses said to the people, he said, remember when she came out from Egypt, out of bondage. And they're talking about the Passover for the strength of the hand, how the Lord brought them out from the place of the no leavened bread. He's talking to them about they continue to eat unleavened bread. Continue to eat it. Shouldn't be no yeast or nothing falling around. And this he's trying to bring them out of the land of Egypt, you know. And he told them they have to continue to eat of the unleavened bread. Praise God. And they have, it's a month that they come in, the month of Abib, they call it. But they call it March or April. Abib means March or April. And then I think the other chapters say that Moses told the Israelites that the Lord at least said for the Israelites that they should begin their year with this month of March or either April, which one is Abib. That's a spring month, which is Abib means March or April, so they may have taken it in March. And it shall be this is going to be bringing them into the Canaanites, considering, you know, they're doing all this to keep up the Passover, praise God. And they're going to be brought, God is telling they're going to be brought to the land of milk and honey, to the Canaanites, right? And that he has told their fathers he bring them to the land of milk and honey. And he told them for 7 days. Somebody's at my door. They said for 7 days, praise God, just hold on. For 7 days, he said, and on that last day, please, somebody's knocking at my door. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus.
They'll come back to you, okay? Expert, you answer your door.
Yes.
Sister
Lane. Okay.
You got Exodus
13, 10. Yeah, I'll finish it. I'm so sorry that happened. But anyway, he told them that they're going to celebrate this day, celebrate it in this month of March every day. And at the seventh day, have a celebration. Honoring, talking about the Passover, how God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Praise God. And then it tells him, then he said, keep this day every year for your children and let your children understand why this time is going on. It's the Passover to let them know how God brought the family, the Israelites, out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. Praise God. So that's mostly what it says.
Oh, my God. That was awesome, Sister Gloria Dean. Exodus. She's starting us off, and it's awesome. I thank God for that word that you brought forth, that summary that you gave us. Thank God for, you know, Bible scholars on here. You know, I'm telling you, I'm learning from you all. Now we have Sister Laney. Exodus, she has Exodus 13, 10 through 15. right here, Sister
yes.
Lane.
Yes, ma'am. With the instructions that she just got, Sister Gloria Jean just gave, the 10th verse starts by saying the children of Israel were instructed to keep this ordinance according to specifications given year to year. Every year they had to honor the firstborn of the males and the firstborn male beast and man and their community and the children of Israel. Looking forward to God bringing. Look forward to God bringing us to the land of the Canaanites, then giving it to you, as God promised to your forefathers. They were instructed to look forward to God bringing them to the land of the Canaan and the Canaanites, and God would give them the land as He had promised to their forefathers. Set aside sons. You must present all firstborn son and firstborn male animals to the Lord. For they belong to God. A firstborn donkey may be bought back from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, you must break its neck. However, you still must buy back every firstborn son. The firstborn son still belongs to the Lord. In other words, the firstborn son would be redeemed when you think about the opposite of what happened back in Egypt. When your son asks you, what does all of this mean, your answer should be, the strong hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of enslaved bondage. This is why we do this, in celebration of that, in memorial. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn of man and beast there. As a memorial, we now sacrifice all the firstborn males to the Lord. The blessing is all of our firstborn sons are always bought back. And I saw this as redemption, as a type of Christ. You know, God bought us back from our enslavement to sin under the assault of Satan in the earth for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. Hallelujah. I thank God for you all. I'm sitting back listening to what God gave y'all, to, you know, as a summary for Exodus, and it's awesome. I thank God for Sister Gloria Dean, Sister Laney. Awesome. Thank God for you all. Well, we have Sister Jasmine on with us. She's very young, 21, but she's a Bible scholar. I'm telling you, she knows the word now. Hi, Sister Jasmine. How you doing?
I'm all right. I have Exodus chapter 13, verse 16 through 22. And the verses began by saying that by the strength of the hand of the Lord, they were brought out of Egypt. When Pharaoh let them go, God didn't lead them through the Philistines, although it would have been closer, because he didn't want them to turn back and repent at the sight of war. Moses took the bones of Joseph because he'd sworn to Israel and told them that God would visit them, and they would carry his bones with them when they left. They journeyed from Succoth and camped out at Etham. The Lord led them by day in a pillar of a cloud and by night in a pillar of fire, and he didn't take the pillar of cloud or fire from before the people as they were traveling. And that was it.
Thank you, Sister Jasmine. All right. Well, we had Sister Talana, but she had to work today. She let me know early this morning. She had Exodus 14, 1 through 9. If anybody want to do that, you're welcome to do that one. Now, we're going to move on, though. We have Sister Mary Nichols on with us. She had Exodus 14, 10 through 15. So if anybody want to do 14, 1 through 9, you can let me know. After Sister Mary, we'll pick back up there. But in the meantime, I thank God for each of you. You guys are doing an awesome job. I thank God that you are reading the word, studying the word, and obeying the word. You know, we can read the word all day. I see people reading the word all day. They be cussing up a storm. No, no, no. That is not going to work. We got to obey the word. The word says, be ye holy as I am holy. I cannot imagine a holy God cussing. I can't imagine a holy God shooting somebody. I can't imagine a holy God hating somebody. I can't imagine a holy God, you know, just doing evil things. He said, uh-uh. No, he said, I'm holy. You be holy like me. So I thank God for you all. We got Sister Mary Nichols on with us from Tulsa, Oklahoma. How you doing, Sister Mary?
I'm doing well, but I'm in Oklahoma City now.
You'll see. I'm trying to move you, but nothing.
Anyway. Exodus 14:10-15. And this is after the Pharaoh had pursued them and had been drowned in the sea, and all of those things had happened. This part is a, well, and I am having two versions. I don't know. Can I just kind of read parts of it because I can't summarize it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm having the Lord lead you to do it. You go right ahead.
Well, it was when Pharaoh came to the children of Israel as he was pursuing them and marching after them. Of course, there was all of that great fear. But the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And as they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? They were complaining in their fear and not trusting what the Lord was about to do. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? They just wanted to be comfortable, wanted to be where they were. And yet the Lord had moved them out of Egypt and was about to do miracles, more miracles. In verse 14, the Lord said, fight. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So all of the complaining needed to stop, because the Lord himself would fight for them, and they were to hold their peace. Just like the Lord will fight for us, and we hold our peace. In verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou out unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And it's just, wow, the Lord is so good. That's 10 to 15.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank God for you. I mean, you guys are doing an awesome job. I really appreciate you all. You all are brilliant in the Lord. Brilliant people. I mean, God is just showing you all so much in the scripture, so I appreciate it. All right, Sister Vivian, she is not here. I don't see her on yet. Sister Vivian, are you on? No, I don't think so. But if she is, can you, Sister Vivian, can you? No, she's not on here. Okay, so she had Exodus 14:16-20. But Sister Miriam is here. She has Exodus 14:21-25. So, Sister Miriam, it's on you.
Yes, I have Exodus 21-25. The Lord told Moses to stretch out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a walled on both sides, open up in the middle with the wall on the right hand and the left hand side. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. and took off their chariot wheels that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. That was 21 through 25.
All right, thank you. As I said, you guys are doing an awesome job. I really appreciate you. All right, we have Brother Brian. He's going to close us out with this part of it. Exodus 14, 26 through 31. Brother Brian, that's yes, big brother. Good afternoon, Brother Brian.
Good afternoon, Sister G. Good afternoon, everyone. So I had Exodus 14, 26 through 31, and this is Moses, and they're simply recapping the story about how the Lord led them out, and it picks up where the Lord had told Moses to stretch his hand over the sea, and basically the sea had separated, and they were able to walk across on dry land as the Pharaoh, and as Pharaoh came by there, as he drew his army into the water, it ended up closing behind Israel. And basically God pulled them out. And like I said, it says at the end that they saw the great work which the Lord had did for the Egyptians, and they believed in him because of the mighty works that he did and the mighty deliverance that he had gave them over their enemies. And that's it.
Wow. I tell you what, I thank God for each of you. You all did an amazing job. Right now I'm meeting all the lines. And you know what? Our message for today is taken from Exodus 13 and 14. You know, oh, my God, I am just so amazed at what God is doing. But I'm even more amazed at what he's doing today. He did some great things. The message title is By Strength of Hand. I want you to listen. By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. They were in bondage. Our Lord has a powerful hand. I don't know if you know how powerful his hand is now. You know, he was the one who put the clouds in the sky, the moon, the sun, but he didn't even use his hand. He just spoke it. Isn't he powerful? And guess what? He gave us the power to speak too. So he said, listen, you know, let there be. And there was. So he's in 1 Peter 5 and 6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Many people feel God has left them, forsaken them, because they feel that when they really, really, really needed him, he wasn't there. That's what they felt. They felt he was unavailable. Job may have felt like God had forsaken him. When crisis after crisis hit him, Job lost everything, property, children. He lost his 10 children. Everything he owned was gone in one day. You know, but Job said, shall I not receive evil as well as good at the hand of God? He bowed down and worshiped God. God had a conversation with the devil concerning Job. He said, look, where you going? Where you going, Satan? He said, I'm going back and forth in the earth. He said, listen. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Job is, oh, my God, he's awesome in all his ways. The devil said, yeah, but you got a hedge around him. That's on the Bible. That's on the radio right now. You got a hedge around all of them that's on there. Every one of them. You got a hedge around everyone that's on the radio right now. So let me tell you all right now, the devil can only do so much. And anything the devil do, guess who allowed it? God, you're right. You got the answer right. So when you lost your parents or someone you love, you might have wondered where God was. You might have said, Lord, you promised never to leave me nor forsake me. I can't even see you, Lord. I need relief from this situation. This is an unbearable situation I'm going through right now. Just when, you know, when you thought all was lost or God had abandoned you, another situation happened. That's what happened to Job, too. Another situation happened and another. But God, in his infinite wisdom, stepped in the midst. You know, you got through it, didn't you? It didn't kill you, did it? No, it did not kill you. I'm sure Moses probably thought, now, God, You want me to go stand before who? And you know, Pharaoh was, he represented a small god, and he was powerful in Egypt, but he wasn't as powerful as God. So God had to show Moses who he was. So right in the middle of the situation, you know, that we are in, God turned it around, turned it around, turned around. Psalms 89:13, David said, God, you have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. God's hand is strong, his right hand is high. There is no thing, nothing our God cannot do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't try to think about what you're thinking. Think on those things that are true, that are pure, that are holy, that are loyal, those things that are good report. Think on those things. Don't be dwelling on what the TV said. The TV is going to try to terrorize your mind. So don't only be listening to the radio, the TV. They say, oh, there was a murder over there, and then this person got kidnapped. Read and listen to the good news. God said he won't leave you. He won't let you go through this and that and the other. And if you go through it, if you go through the water, I'm going to be there. If you go on the mountain, he said, look here, even if you make your bed in hell, I'm going to be there too. So don't lean to your own understanding. You may not understand the coronavirus and what's going on, but don't you know God knew about it before he said, let there be? Nothing comes as a surprise to God. God is our helper, a very present help in times of trouble. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring everything to pass. Rest in the Lord. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't fear. Don't be anxious. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. He's not going to leave you. I don't care if you, now he right there with you now. He right here with me now. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You may not feel his presence, but he's there. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, isn't that awesome? He's thinking about you. Remember I told you earlier, his thoughts of you are more than the grains of sand. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he's going to bring to pass everything he promised you. You don't know the promises? Read in Deuteronomy 28, promises. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in the way. The Lord knows the day of the upright, the days of the upright, and in their inheritance, and their inheritance shall be forever. Look at that. Forever, our inheritance, it, you know, like your earthly inheritance down here that you leave for your children. Oh, look here. You're probably going to use it up in the next year or two. But you know what? When God gives an inheritance, it's forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's number one. Not your mind, not your understanding, but trust in the Lord. The story of Moses is about trusting God. When we trust and do not think, we try to think it through. You can't figure it out. We can't use our old mindsets. Our old mindsets are being torn down. Every time you read the word, every time you study the word, that old mindset is down. So, you know, as we speak, God is tearing down our old way of thinking. You know how I used to think 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? 12 years ago, God said, that don't work no more. You got to come to a higher level in me. That's how you got to come to a higher level in God. You got to trust in him. I'm telling you, he said, when you walk on the water, you're not going to be overtaken by the water. No, don't look down now. Look up. Look to the hills from which comes your help. Your help comes from the Lord. You got a new way of thinking? Is being transferred to us now. Remember, God's ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. You try to figure it out. I'm sure Job tried to figure out, why am I going through this? I ain't in sin. But even the righteous have to go through hard times. Look at Joseph. Remember we read about Joseph, the life of Joseph a while back? Joseph didn't sin. He didn't do nothing. His brothers hated him, put him in a pit. He didn't do nothing. All right. So we got to learn to trust in God. We can't act like the human beings that we are no more. Remember when you said, Lord, I surrender. I surrender my lying, my cheek, my stealing. I surrender all of this to you. I surrendered that, Lord. Yeah, I go take it back. I surrendered it, Lord. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Moses met with God often. How often do you meet with God? I know you meet with your friends and your family often, your pastor maybe, but how often do you meet with God? How often do you go to the secret place and have the experience like, you know, Moses was in the secret place. When he got there, God said, look here. This is holy ground. Take your shoes off. So Moses did what God told him to do. So God taught Moses his way. Moses had to be, he had to unlearn. And when you unlearn and stuff, people are like, ouch, ouch, that hurt, Lord. Because he's tearing down old ways. And it hurt. So Moses thought, you know, his thoughts were limited. But we serve the unlimited God. Our thoughts can limit us. We'll say, I hear the children used to tell me in the classroom, I can't, Miss Gantlin. I say, guess what? What's your scripture? I had taught them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When they come, they tell me, I say, what's your scripture? I can do all things. So I'm telling you, remember, write it down. Put it across the TV, write it on the refrigerator. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are limited because we live in the flesh. But when we step into the supernatural realm of God, there's nothing we can't do. Everything he orders us to do, we could do. Now, Moses gave all those excuses. He said, that's okay. God tore down every one of his excuses. He said, I'll send Aaron with you. Remember, Aaron did the first few miracles, and after that, it was on with Moses. Moses had the confidence, and he started doing everything. You know, God's going to send somebody to help each one of us. His hand, you know, God's hand touched Moses. And God used Moses' vessel. That's what he used our vessel when we surrender. And we say, I remember one time I told you all before, God told me to pray with this woman in Winn-Dixie. And I said, Lord, that lady don't need any prayer. I mean, she was dressed to the max, looked like she was just coming from church, looked like she was prayed up and all of that. I was trying to use my own understanding. But when I stopped and I said, Miss, do you mind if I pray for you? She was saying, oh, my God, Miss, I need prayer. But, you know, I was leaning to my own understanding, trying to do it in the natural. But God, over a period of time, he taught me, look here, don't you look at what things in the natural. I'm showing you something in the spirit. The woman needs prayer. Pray for her. God uses found the wise. Pharaoh was full of the world's wisdom, but he didn't have a clue about the wisdom of God. God used nonsense things in our lives, foolishness, to confound the wise. So, you know, God used Moses. He said, Moses, throw your rod down. Moses jumped back. He said, oh, my God, and I'm turning to a snake. He said, that's okay. Pick it up by the tail. So God used some things, you know. God may tell you, pick up your Bible. And he said, I want you to read for 1 hour. What are you doing? You say, God, I was just getting ready to eat. That's okay, but can you fast? Can you fast with me? Can you pray with me for 1 hour? God allowed Moses to use that snake and to show his power. What is God using in your life to show his power? What's he using in your everyday life to show his power? You know what? The world knows the light that's on us. They can see the light. You may can't see the light, but the world can see the light on you. And many times the world is drawn to you by the light. The brighter the light, the more the world is drawn to you to give them the word. No, not the food, the word. So you got to have some word written in you. We may be wise in age, but are we wise in the things of God? We may be wise, but are we wise in the things of God? Do you know God well enough to know when he is in your midst? Can you feel the presence of God? There's a song that says, the presence of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. He's speaking. Do you know when God is speaking to you? No, please don't insult God and say, something told me. That's an insult to God. Either the devil told you or God told you. If it's wrong, you know the devil done told you now. But if it's, that's how you got to read the Bible. That's why we got to study the word. So you'll know the difference in when the devil's speaking and when God's speaking. You're going to know. When you close enough to God, don't you know Moses knew the voice of God? Abraham knew the voice of God? Job knew when God was moving? So when God is speaking, you know, we got to do what he tells us to do. We got to do those things. We may not understand it, but we got to do it anyway. Just do what he said. Obey. Obey. By the strength of the hand of God. Didn't I tell you God had a strong hand, a high right hand, a holy arm? That's how he brought the children out of Egypt. Remember, when you believe in bondage, I'm sorry, remember when you were in bondage, a slave to something? We were a slave to something. We had a yoke around our neck. It was invisible. We didn't even know it. We were oppressed by our bondage. Sin is bondage. It's invisible. We don't even know when we're in bondage. Sin. You know the prodigal son? He didn't know he had slipped into bondage. He had mud all over. He was living a mud life. Until God opened his eyes and showed him that he was a king's child. Don't you know we're king's children? We can't go out there and live like the world lives. We belong to a king, King Jesus. We belong to Jesus. His hand is so powerful. It pulls us out of the mud life, cleans us up, and it doesn't even condemn us. Mm-mm. You know the woman at the well? He said, listen here, go and sin no more. No, God don't want us to be enslaved to sin. He don't even enslave us. He give us freedom to choose him. He give us freedom. We can choose the Almighty. He give us much freedom. So we could choose God? Yeah, we don't have to live in sin. Jesus met the woman at the well. He didn't even condemn her. He told her, go and sin no more. So he said, look here, don't live that way you used to live. He broke the bondage she was in. She was in bondage. She was enslaved to sin. Jesus stopped Saul on the road to Damascus and blinded him before he showed him the truth. Sometimes we are blinded to the truth. People tell us the truth, but because we are blinded, we don't understand. We are in error, but we don't even know it. We were taught error sometimes by our family. They taught us the wrong thing. Sometimes the church taught us the wrong thing. Sometimes the world taught us the wrong thing. We bought into a pack of lies. When will we be led by God? Whenever we're led by God, when we surrender to God, let go. We got to let go of pride. He said, They can't tell me nothing. Who they think they are? No, I don't want to hear what they got to say. I'm telling you. There are little children who can tell you something when you listen. So we don't want to be stuck like Pharaoh. He was full of pride. He was in bondage. He was a king, and his reputation was at stake. So he refused to give in because of pride. He didn't want to give up. He didn't want to let go because of pride. You know, he was like, I'm the king, and I'm right. I'm right about everything. But God had to break him down. Every plague that God sent, he broke him down. Now, I'm going to tell you, are you in Egypt? Egypt is a place of shut-in, restraint, misery, trial, tribulation, distress, a land of refuge, and a land of bondage. Egypt was a place where there was plenty of bondage. Now, let me tell you something. Spiritual bondage, you could be in spiritual bondage. When you're not willing to give up, what is it you're not willing to give up? Are you not willing to give up for God? Is it pride? Is it a person you're not willing to give up? Is it a thing? Is it money? Money for the kingdom that belong to God you're not willing to give up? Is it religion? The Bible says pure religion, undefiled before God, is to visit the widows. You know that scripture over there in Hebrews. Read it. All right. Find out what pure religion is and see if that's what you're doing. Because we don't want that, you know, religion that didn't come from God. We want to be like God. Just like God heard the cries of even the inner cries of the people of the Israelites, God hears your inner cry. You don't have to speak a word. God knows your thoughts are far off. The Lord help. He will help us get out of bondage. Isaiah 59:1 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save us, nor his ear too dull to hear. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he can't save us, his ear dull that he cannot hear us. Isaiah 59, the release, the reality check, the sin. God sees sin. You know, like children, they play hide and seek. They try to hide. They think you don't see them. You see them. That's how God is. We can't play hide and seek with God. We got to come clean and say, Lord, I sin. So God sees him. He says, behold, the hand of God is not so short that it cannot save us. Many times we wonder why the Lord, God, did not seem to rescue us from our trials. Jonah, when he was like, whoa, you know, don't be like Jonah. Jonah said, yeah, Lord, I'll go to Nineveh. He went the other way. He just ignored God. You know how we do? We ignore sometimes what the pastor say. We ignore sometimes what a sister or brother, even what your children tell you sometimes, you ignore. His strength, oh, yeah, God is strong. If his hand could reach Moses, Jonah in the belly, it certainly can reach us. Know the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save us, nor his ear heavy that he don't hear it. Maybe the problem isn't God, power, knowledge, or, you know, that may not be the problem. It may not be the problem of God's people. What could be it? It says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So when you in sin, you could pray 24/7. You could fast all you want, but your sin has separated you from God. When we sin, we get separated from God. The Israelite people murmured, complained to Moses about what God did and what he did not do. And that complaining and murmuring, that, you know, you do that murmuring in your head. We may not be murmuring to each other, but are we murmuring ahead? America is murmuring. They're murmuring about all the stuff that's going on. We have become a nation that left God. Let's join in and pray for our nation, America. America lost its first love. Can't you tell? Where it's the first start in the school. Take prayer out of school. You know, they don't need to pray. They don't need prayer. Nah, we don't want our children taught that. So God took his hand off it. We requested it. And the children of God didn't try to stop it. Revelation 2:3-4. You have endured, suffered trouble because of my name and have grown weary. You have not grown weary, excuse me. However, I have this against you. Yeah, you've been going to church. You've been praying. You've been fasting. You've been reading the word. You've been doing what? But he said, I have this against you. I have this one thing against you. The love you first had is gone. Remember how far you've fallen? Return to me and change the way you think and act. Do what you did at first. I will come to you and take your lampstand from you, from its place, if you don't change. But you have this in your favor. You hate sin. So I'm talking to you on the radio. You hate sin. And I hate sin too, says God. Let every person who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. This is what God is saying to us. That America is in trouble, and we're going to have to pray. We got to pray. I'm telling you, we got to pray. We can't just stand by and see our country in wickedness and not pray. So 2 Chronicles 7:12-16, I'm going to pray that. You all pray in your separate places. God said, I heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifices. I may shut the sky so there's no rain, or I may command grasshoppers to devour the countryside or send an epidemic among the people. However, listen to this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, search for me, and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear their prayer from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their country. My eyes will be open and my ears will attend into the prayers that they say at this place. I have chosen and declared this holy temple so that my name will be, may be placed there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. So God's eyes and his heart always here for us. So, Father, we thank you for the word of God that you gave us to read in your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And, Father, our nation needs revival. And I'm thanking you, Lord God, for reviving. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the great sleeping giant, the church, who even now has begun to shake herself from sleep, I pray that she would awake to righteousness and holiness in every denomination, in every body of believers, and slumber no more. I pray that we will begin to unify under the bloodstained banner of the cross and preach the gospel of the kingdom clearly and boldly in every highway and byway of our nation. I pray, Lord God, that America, as Americans, that we would not only stand up and speak, but we will begin to reap a great harvest in our nation. Bring multitudes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May the revival of the saints be so all-compassing that it affects the spiritual complexity of the entire nation, America, and influences in the political realm, in our economy, in the media, and in our entire society. So, Lord, I just thank you right now for what you're doing in all of us on Wednesday midweek Bible study. We come today to thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in us as individuals, but mainly what you're doing for the country we live in. And Lord, we were considered one nation under God. I'm unmuting all the lines, so make sure you mute back if you want. But we're going to be, you can respond to the message if you like. You can respond. But we need to pray for our country. So I'm going to ask, who wants to pray first? And then we're going to take individual prayer requests. Anybody who needs prayer? You can get prayer today. So I want to ask, is there anyone who would like to pray for our nation? Anybody?
Mr. G?
Yes?
Oh. Go ahead. Ms. Mary, and I wanted to just say a little part of the prayer, and I heard somebody else who's ready to go.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, you are in charge, and I am so happy that we can always come to you. We can trust you because you are God. And Lord, I just ask you to have mercy on all of the people who mistakenly believe that they are in charge and that there is the voice that we need to be listening to. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that we will only turn our ear to you because you are the only one worthy of are listening to and following. Lord, I pray, I thank you for answering the prayers for truth coming out and being exposed. I saw something from the people themselves, the world, World Economic Council or something like that. But they are showing in their own video that they are putting stuff in the vaccines to make us follow them. But, Lord, you are stronger than even that. You are stronger than subterfuge and all of the misinformation and whatever is being told to us. And, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that you are God. Help us to do your will, to hear your word, and to work as you would have us work, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. Does anyone have any reflections concerning the message or anything you want to add to what was talked about today? State your name and do so. All right. Well, looks like nobody has anything. Okay, we appreciate you. Anybody? I'm going to pray for the babies this minute. Get somebody to pray for the babies in a minute. So I'm going to ask Sister Miriam, if you'll pray. You don't have to remember the names, baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kaiser, baby Kadir. You can pray for those babies for us and thank God for their parents and siblings and however the Lord leads you. Go ahead, Sister Miriam.
Heavenly Father, I come before you first to thank you right now, Lord God, because you are worthy of the praise. I praise your holy name right now, Lord God. I bring our babies before you right now, Lord God. You've already done a wonderful job from which they came. You're continuing to strengthen them and heal their bodies right now, Lord God. I pray for their parents right now, Lord God. Strengthen them on every side right now, Lord God. It's hard taking care of a person that's sick. But bless them. Give them patience right now, Lord God. Let them show love to the babies right now, Lord God. I know you have healing, anointing power right now, Lord God. And in your son Jesus' name, you say we are healed by his stripes right now, Lord God. So I ask in the name of your son Jesus for healing, anointing over the babies right now, Lord God, and their parents in the name of Jesus. I'm thanking you and I'm praising you right now in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask Sister Gloria Dean, could you pray for Roosevelt and Frederick? They're two young men who need prayer.
Praise God. They need prayer. Okay, praise God. Father God, we just love you, thank you, and give you all glory and honor today, God. Hallelujah. The two young men, Father God, that Sister Coretha is talking about, God, you know them. You know all about them. Right now, hallelujah, Father God, we just come against all the powers of hell away from them right now in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of sin, that they'll not be dominated with sin. Satan, you're a liar, right now in the name of Jesus, we demand and command you to take your filthy hands off these two brothers in Jesus' name. They were not created and born for you. They were created to be for the Lord thy God, to serve him, to have his nature, and not your nature, Satan. So in Jesus' name, these young men, they will not have the nature of God. We speak salvation for them, that they will be saved, as the scriptures say, Lord, save them, and they shall be saved. Lord, heal them, and they shall be healed. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that they begin to think on you, Father, that you begin to put you on their mind, Father God, so they'll learn of you, God. If they're not in church, God, let them find a church, God, that's filled with the Spirit, Father God, in the name of Jesus. But we thank you, Lord, we love these brothers. We love them, Father, because, God, that's what we have to do, love. Love, 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 love. So we love them, God. We love them, and we pray the best for them, Father God, and they shall be saved, they shall be sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, it's closing time. I thank God for each of you. Anybody have anything you want to say before we close out? We're getting ready to close out. All right. Like everybody said, everything you need to say. Thank God for you. I love each of you. You already know God loves you so much, so much, so much, so much. Can't begin. I mean, his love is, oh, my God, can't be measured now. He loves you. I was going to close. I'm going to ask Sister Lainey if she could say a closing prayer for us as we leave this time, but not from the presence of the Lord. We'll continually be in his presence. Thank y'all. Go ahead, Sister Lainey. Sister Lainey, you there? Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Could you say a closing prayer for us?
Yes, ma'am. We have a triple murder here in my city, just a few streets away from me. At a club, three young people were killed on Sunday morning. And we're just asking that you remember our community along with so many others in prayer. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for being our God, being our Lord, being our Savior. We thank you for this time of study and to be reminded by our Sister G of our first love and our first calling, that is to be responsible to walk in obedience to you in our salvation and not be comfortable with it, but to know that we've been called upon to share with others so they too can get to know our Lord. We thank you, Father, for this time in our space of study together, that we can remember our responsibilities to tell others about the love of Jesus Christ. We pray for bereaved families, and we pray for those who are perpetrators of murder and all those things. We pray, God, that salvation will come to them again, why our work is so important. We pray, God, for mercy and grace upon us in Jesus' name. Special prayer for Sister G and this body of believers, that you will so continue to develop us and guide us to your heart, God, that we could know how to do what we do, even with more a spirit of excellence that honors you. It's in the name of Jesus and all for your glory, God. We pray and we thank you now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Love you all so much. Talk to you all Saturday or Wednesday or whenever the Lord sees. Have a good day. Love you.